Hey, gang, I'm real excited you're here. If you can't see the screen, I know it's crowded. It'd be great if you could move a little bit to see the screen. You don't have to, but there is still some room in the aisles where you can find a seat. But I'm excited you're here. I got a Rice Krispie treat. I know that somebody's looking for an extra one. Who wants an extra Rice Krispie treat? Huh? Well, a lot of people like Rice Krispie treats. Okay, Baron, you ready? Oh, intercepted. Sorry about that. All right. Hey, this is a subject that I think causes as much confusion as anything. And that is the question, how can I know God's will for my life? Does God care if you eat that Rice Krispie treat?
Yes.
Some people are going to say, yes, God cares if you eat that Rice Krispie treat. Does God care if you're wearing a hat inside right now? Some people are going to say yes, some people are going to say no. How do you determine what God's will is for your life? Now, we could talk about the ridiculous, about the Rice Krispie treat or a hat, but what about, does God care whether or not you go to Texas A&M University? Yes, he cares if you go there. That is not God's will for your life, okay? Let's just start that from the beginning, okay? Just got to speak clearly. Know your audience. Okay. All jokes aside, how do you determine God's will? We're faced with a ton of questions all the time. Everyday decisions we've got to make. All right. What sport am I supposed to play? Do I play two sports? Do I not play any sports? What class am I supposed to take? What do I sign up for? Should I date in high school? Have you ever heard people say, no, never date in high school? Then some people say, sure, why not date? Then some people have an attitude of, date anybody, right? Where am I supposed to go to college? Not A&M. If you answered that, you got it correctly. How should I spend my summer? Where should I work? These are all questions that we're faced with. So I'm going to pitch it out there to you, and I want to hear from a few of you. How do you answer questions like this? And do you feel like God is concerned about how you answer these questions? Anybody? Be brave, be bold, be strong.
God's word.
All right, so can you open up God's word and find out what sport you're supposed to play?
Yes.
Yes, somebody said yes. Others said no.
Pray about it.
Okay, you can pray about it. Certainly always a good answer, right? God's word and prayer, two for two. God's people, that's good. Talk to others. It's really good. So I'm going to give you a grid, if you will, in which to answer questions like this that I think are going to be helpful for you. But first, what I want to do is I want to talk about some popular misconceptions about God's will. How people view God's will, but I think how they view it inappropriately, okay? Some people view God's will as like a needle in a haystack. What do I mean by that? When you hear a needle in a haystack, what do you think?
Unfindable.
Hard to find, impossible to find. And some people view God's will as if it is impossible to find, as if He is not clear, and he is confusing and vague. And so it creates frustration, anger. Why won't God make this clear? Why won't God speak to me? But what does the Bible say? The Bible says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives what? Generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. The idea being, hey, to think of God's will as a needle in a haystack, something that's hard to find, somehow God's trying to remain silent, that's just not consistent with Scripture. It says that, hey, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God. He gives generously. He wants to answer that question. He wants to reveal his will to you. Some people, and I see a lot of people, this creates anxiety. They view God's will as a bullseye. What do you think I mean by that? Anybody? Okay, I heard somebody say, hey, you can see it, but it's hard to get. Have you ever viewed God's will as if He has a specific will for you in each and every decision you make? That He really does care whether or not you eat that Rice Krispie treat. That He really does care whether or not you wear a hat or what shirt you put on. There are some who feel no freedom and actually experience a lot of anxiety because they're just unsure all the time. Well, I don't know what God wants for me to do right here. And so they see each and every situation, circumstance, decision as if there's one right way of doing it. There's one person out there whom God intends for you to marry. There's one job that He wants you to have. One school that He has in mind for you. And so that creates anxiety because we got to figure out what's that one thing He wants for us. But the Bible says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all the glory of God. It seems to suggest that, hey, there's freedom. But the question is that you want to ask yourself is, hey, what in what school I choose or job I choose or class I go to or sport I play, how can I honor God in this? Other people view God's will as easy street. Okay? What do you think I mean by that? I'm sorry, say it again. Okay, it's easier to do. Anybody else want to add to that? Yes, sir.
Just do whatever feels natural to you.
Okay, do whatever feels natural to you. There's a lot of people who would hold to that. What I mean by this is, and gang, this is a really, really important lesson to know. If you hear anything which I'm going to say today, I want you to know this. There are times that God is going to ask you to do something, and it's His will for you to do something, and it's really, really hard. It's really hard. But unfortunately, I think what's often taught and what a lot of people believe is if they make a decision and it turns out to be hard, oh, well, this must not have been God's will for me. I must have made a poor choice. And what I want you to know is that sometimes God's asking us to make really difficult decisions, and it doesn't mean that it's always going to be easy or smooth sailing. It may very well be God's will for you to make a choice that's difficult and it's hard. And just because it gets hard doesn't mean you made the wrong choice. So you can even think about what Scripture says. It says, hey, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, what does that mean? Does it necessarily mean that you're going to be physically persecuted? Not necessarily. You may. But the point being that Paul's making right here is he's saying, hey, there are going to be times in your life when you're going to make decisions that are consistent with God's will, that you're going to experience discomfort. You might experience isolation. You might experience ridicule. You might feel separated from friends. You might be teased. But that doesn't mean that you made the wrong decision, because sometimes God's will is calling you to make a hard decision. Other people see God's will up against the backdrop of a genie in a bottle. What do you think that means? Yes, sir. Okay, you asked something for him to do, is that what you said? All right, anybody else? I heard somebody over here. All right, He just makes your dreams come true. Yes, sir. Yeah, so, you know, what happens when you have, you've read the books and seen the movies. If you have the magic lantern, you rub the lamp, the genie pops out, and what does he say? I'll give you 3 wishes, whatever you want. Okay? And so sometimes we know that God is good, and we know that He answers prayers, but is He really like a magic genie in a lamp? No. Right? Psalm 135 says, "For I know the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, He does in heaven and on earth, and in the seas and all deeps." And the point of me saying this is that, gang, God is the one who is sovereign. What does sovereign mean? All-powerful. God is the one who is all-powerful. He is not subservient to us, but us to Him. Okay? He doesn't bow down to us like a genie who's beholden to us because we rub the lamp, and He just shows up like a rabbit's foot, a good luck charm. But sometimes we feel like, hey, you know what? If I just ask God, he's just going to tell me and reveal it, and he's going to conform his will to mine. And that's a mistake we often make. All right, another way in which we view God and his will as a cosmic killjoy. Now, what do you think I mean by that? Yes, sir. Great answer. That he's just giving you a bunch of rules just to make life unfun. Okay? A lot of us, I think, wrongly view God as just this powerful force in the sky who's a cop, who's all about busting us when we do something wrong and really doesn't want us to have any fun. All he is a rule maker. And he's just looking to punish us if we don't follow his will. But I don't think that either is what is a right depiction of God and his will. Jesus says in John 10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come that they may have what? Life. And have it abundantly. So how should we view God's will? How should we view God? There you go. Gang, how you view God determines everything. How you view God, when I ask you to think of God and help me understand who God is, what is his character, if you believe God is a cosmic killjoy, if you believe he's a magic genie, if you believe that God is really holding out on you or doesn't desire to have a relationship with you but makes his will hard to find, that's going to be dramatically different than how the Bible describes the character of God. The Bible describes God as a caring father who is attentive to your needs. He knows your needs. And he loves you and cares for you and desires to have a relationship with you. Matthew 7 says this, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or ask for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Jesus is making a point here. He's inviting us to come to him, to ask, to seek, to knock, because he is like a good father who knows our needs and wants to help us if we will come to him. And makes the point, like any good father, if a son comes to him and he asks for bread, is he going to give him a snake? Of course not. But see, like a good father, he also knows that there are some times when we ask for things, it's not necessarily best for us. So I have four kids at home. And if I just gave my kids everything they asked for from the time they were born until in high school, do you think they're going to turn out to be somebody you'd want to be a friend with? No way. Because they're going to be spoiled, demanding, entitled. And there's sometimes when they ask for things, I just sit there and I go, hey, I understand why you're asking for that, but that's not necessarily what is best for you. Right? And so when we think about God's will, I want to just make it clear. I think there's a lot of freedom in the decisions you make. And if you're one of those who feels like God's holding out on you, that he's the cosmic killjoy, he just is one of those, he's just a cop, he's a principal, right, up there with rules, looking for you to fail so that he can slap your hand. If you feel like God's holding out on you because he doesn't want to reveal his will, it's like a needle in a haystack. I just sit there and go, I don't think that's right. I think he's like a caring, loving father who wants you to come to him. He wants a relationship with you, and he knows your every single need. And because he knows your every single need, and because he always knows what is best for you, he's willing to guide you, lead you. I think he wants to give you the answers you're looking for. Now, next point I want to make is there are different types of decisions we have to make every day. So against the backdrop of seeing God as a loving, caring father, let's think about the type of decisions we're faced with on a daily basis. There are three types of decisions that we face. There are the moral decisions, the complex or gray decisions, and then the non-moral decisions. Okay? So we've got three buckets. We face decisions day in, day out. We face moral decisions. We have gray area decisions. And then we just have kind of non-moral or trivial decisions we have to make. So let's think about the moral decisions. What do I mean by moral decisions? Well, a moral decision is the everyday decision or choice we have to make that the Bible specifically addresses. It is clear in God's word that we are not to lie, steal, kill, okay, cheat. That's clear. You can chapter and verse that. You can open that up and somebody go, hey, look, right there in the word of God, it says, don't murder, don't steal, don't cheat, don't lie. We know that to be the case. And those are pretty easy, right? You didn't need me to tell you that. You know that God's will is for you not to steal, murder, lie, cheat. But then there's those decisions that we have to make on a daily basis, which I call the gray area decisions. And these decisions aren't as easy to determine. You can't chapter and verse, where should I go to college? What car should I drive? Who should I marry? I think some of us would love to have that type of clarity. We would love for God to be more specific and reveal his will. What should I major in college? What school should I go to? What class should I take? Where should I work this summer? But God's just not that explicit in his word about how we answer these questions. These are the gray area decisions. But I'm going to make the case today that although God's not explicit, he's not, you can't chapter and verse answers to this. I think he cares about how you answer those questions. And then the third category, those non-moral decisions. What should I wear? What should I eat for dinner? Where should I park? You make decisions like this day in and day out. And I put this in the third category of it really doesn't matter. I don't think he cares what hat you put on or what shirt you put on today. All right? So the hard thing to determine are those gray area decisions. You have the moral decisions that we have to make. That's clear. It's explicit in God's word. You have the trivial decisions, like where do I park? What am I going to have for dinner tonight? I don't think he really cares. I think there's a lot of freedom. But the tension comes in this middle category of those gray areas. And what does God's word have to say about the gray areas? Well, although God's word is not explicit, you know what I mean when I say explicit, although you can't chapter and verse as clearly like the moral decisions, do not lie, do not steal, there are principles from God's word that guide us to answer questions in the gray area. So I'm going to give you a series of questions, and I encourage you to write these down. And we're going to just take one decision in keeping with the theme 16. Of what do we do when faced with the opportunity to buy a car? How could we think through that decision in a way that would honor God? The first question I think you could ask is, in how you're going to buy a car, or should you buy this particular car, or make a decision within the gray area, is simply this. Do I have all the facts? Do I have all the facts? How many of us have made decisions when we just haven't read the fine print? We don't have all the information, and we respond in our emotion out of excitement, but we don't have all the facts. So if you're going to buy a car, let's say you're buying a used car, wouldn't you want to get all the information you could possibly get about that car before you bought it? Yes. But oftentimes what happens is you see the car, you're excited about the car, you ignore the facts because you just sit there and you think, man, this car is awesome. It looks great on the outside. But then God is saying in his word in Proverbs, he says, he who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. In other words, it is wise to get all of the information before you act. So the first question you ask is, do I have all the facts? The second question you want to ask is, when making a decision in these gray areas, these questions which aren't as clear, is the pressure of time forcing me to make a premature decision? So you're there, you're thinking, I'm going to buy a car. I want to buy a car. And you're excited about the car that you see. And the guy who's selling it to you looks at you and goes, hey, let me just tell you something. If you don't buy this car today, like this afternoon, I really think it's going to be gone. And so you got to make this decision right now of whether or not you want it. Now, all of a sudden, you're feeling the pressure of time and anxiety. Like, hey, if I don't do this now, it's going to be gone. That's just a good sales tactic to put pressure on you to make a decision that you might otherwise not make. Wisdom would say, it is not good for a person to be without knowledge, and he who makes haste with his feet errs. What does that mean, haste with your feet? He who hurries through that decision, he who allows the pressure of time to push him, you're going to end up making a decision you might not otherwise make. So the first question is, hey, do I have all the facts? The second one is, am I allowing the pressure of time to push me into make a decision that I might not otherwise make? Next question, what possible motives are driving this decision? What are some motives that could drive you to make a decision in buying a car that aren't necessarily good motives? Anybody? What's that? Get a girlfriend? Impress my peers? The type of car I'm driving? Right? Image, prestige, greed. And if those are the motives that are driving your decision, God's word is clear about that. And so I don't think God cares if you drive a Ford or a Chevy. Okay? But I do think that God cares about the motives behind why you would drive either. And so you got to ask yourself, hey, what are the motives that are driving this decision? The next question asked is, how should past experiences inform this decision? Proverbs 26:11 says, like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. That is a pretty funny verse, isn't it? What in the world does that mean? A dog that returns to its vomit. Do you know that when dogs vomit, they leave, and what do? They go back to it. That is disgusting. And what the Bible is teaching is sometimes we make poor decisions, and we're no different than that dog because we don't learn from our mistakes. And we just come back and repeat the same mistake over and over and over again. And so when you're thinking through the gray area decisions of your life, when you're thinking through, hey, what should I do? You should ask yourself, hey, how can I learn from the past experiences of others or the past decisions I've made that did not go well? In reference to this car, maybe you've been here before and you've been impetuous. You've jumped and you've made decisions out of impulse and not really thinking through it and had buyer's remorse. And maybe you should sit there and go, hey, wait a minute, I've been here before. I've bought things before that I later regretted. And so maybe not wise for me to make that decision again. What is the collective counsel of those I love and trust? It's just wise before making a decision like this to gather with people, not necessarily those who are going to tell you what you want to hear, but those who are going to tell you what you need to hear. Hey, listen, I know you want to buy this car. I would want that car too. But let me just tell you, if you do that, it is going to put you in debt and you are going to regret this decision. And so you think about who are the friends, not necessarily who you have the most fun with, but who are the decisions who are who are your friends who are making decisions that are consistently wise? Who are your mentors in your life that you would want to run things by before you were to make a decision? What are they saying to you? Next question, have I honestly considered the warning signs? Proverbs 10:17 says, he is on the path of life who heeds instructions, but he who forsakes reproof or correction goes astray. God gives us warning signs along the way. That might be the warning of a parent. It might be the warning of a friend, of a coach. It may be your conscience. It may be that feeling within your heart. You're sitting there going, something's not right. This guy trying to sell the car to me, he makes me feel uneasy. You should pay attention to that still small voice. This guy feels like he's hiding something from me. What are the warning signs? Do you have that check in your spirit just going, hey, something's not right? Next question, have I carefully considered the possible outcomes? Proverbs 14:15 says, the naive believes everything, but the prudent man considers his steps. When you're making choices, you've got to think about, hey, if I choose to make this particular choice, if I open up the door on the left, what could possibly happen here? As opposed to the door in the middle or the door on the right. It's like dominoes. You've all set up dominoes, and then you hit the dominoes, and then it's just a chain reaction. And you've got to think about, hey, how's this decision going to affect me? And what are the possible outcomes that could come from this? If I buy this car, it's going to mean I can't spend this same money maybe on my summer trip I want to take. It's going to mean I'm not going to have the savings that I want to have before I go to college. So I've got to evaluate what are the possible outcomes. And then the last question is this. It's just simply, hey, in any decision I make, I want to know, could it jeopardize my integrity or hinder my witness for the Lord? Could it jeopardize my integrity or hinder my witness for the Lord? Is it going to cause others to look at me and go, hey, you know what? You claim to know and love Jesus, but let me just tell you something. The decision you're making right now is confusing. Because it seems inconsistent that you would choose to make that decision and yet claim that you're a follower of Jesus. I call this the newspaper test. And what I mean by that is the decisions you're making today, if we were to print those and put them in the front page of the newspaper, would it cause you to kind of go, oh, don't do that? I don't want everybody to know that. And if the answer is yes, you're making decisions that you're sitting there and you're thinking, hey, I would rather others not know that, that is a sign that you're compromising your integrity. And you're not living out the way you say you want to live. All right? So, gang, know this in closing. Know that God desires to have a relationship with you. Know that he loves you, that he cares for you. He's not holding out on you. His will is not as mysterious as sometimes we think. We see his will oftentimes as a dot. And I think it's a big circle in the areas of those gray decisions where there's freedom. And if you choose to go to A&M, Texas, make the right decision and go to Baylor, okay? Hey, just kidding. Hey, I don't think God's sitting there going, hey, listen, it's the university I care about. I think he's more concerned about you who are going to that university and who you're going to be at that university. And he's like a father who loves you and wants what's best for you. He gives us principles to guide us and lead us. And if we'll go to him and ask, He's going to help us. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity just to stop and to consider your character and who you are. I thank you that you don't hold out on us. You're not like a cosmic killjoy. I thank you, Father, that your will is not difficult to discern, that you're not hiding it from us like a needle in a haystack. I thank you there's freedom in the decisions we make, that we can be unique in our desires and interests and personalities and talents and gifts and operate within that. Lord, would you help us to experience the freedom of walking with you and pursuing those things, Lord, which that you have rightfully declared good and put in our lives. And I pray, Father, that we would make decisions that are consistent with your word and that are guided by your wisdom. In Christ's name, amen.